You're listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel, a podcast where we invite honest conversations around culture, church, faith, and life. Now, here are our hosts, Ryan Falls and Matt Conrad.
Okay, well, this is Asking for a Friend. It's a podcast where you can ask us anything you want to know about faith, life, church, and how those kind of fit together. And this is from one of our students. And the question is what, Matt?
Question is, where are dinosaurs in the Bible? So great, right?
It's a great question.
It's such a good one.
A great question. And I should say, I never wondered too much about this, but it's come up several times now in conversations I've had that people seem to want to know. So we're going to do our best to shed some light on this. But I thought it'd be fun to start with some fun and just talk about what our favorite dinosaurs are. Start first with like real dinosaurs. Like what, Kaylee, what is your favorite dinosaur?
Oh no, I'm blank. I'm going to be lame and say T-Rex. I think the arms are funny.
The arms are funny. Ryan.
Like if I had a pet?
Yeah, if you had a pet dinosaur, what would you want?
Isn't it called a Brachiosaurus, the big ones? I would want one of those, but my favorite are probably Velociraptors because they're so smart and they're so cool.
But are you basing that off the Chris Pratt version of Jurassic Park? Is that why you're calling them
Jurassic
smart?
Park is historically accurate.
Okay. I watched it for research. I made my kids, right? 11 and 14. We sat down and watched not the Chris Pratt version, but the 1993 original.
Yeah, where you find a mosquito. It's in amber.
And the velociraptors were.
And that's where it comes from.
That is a big, big deal.
The DNA of a mosquito.
Yeah.
I wasn't even, my parents hadn't even met in 1993. So
I was in college. I know.
So you're the dinosaur.
I am the dinosaur.
What's your favorite, Matt?
My favorite, I like the Stegosaurus. I think they're kind of cool with the plates on the on their back.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are kind of cool. How about fictitious dinosaurs? Ryan, favorite fictitious dinosaur?
Well, the one I don't like is Barney.
Yeah.
He scares me.
Yeah.
And the one I like.
Can you sing his song? Do you know his song?
Oh, yeah. I love you, you love me.
That's right.
And I don't know the rest of it. Is it happy as can be or a great big family?
No, I think we're a happy family.
With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you.
Yeah, you do.
I don't want.
You seem like you know it. You're someone that doesn't like it.
Well, how can you not know it? And maybe you don't if you're a listener, but I do. You know, my first dinosaur movie I ever saw in the theater was The Land Before Time. And so it has a special place in my heart. My parents' birthday party. His mom rented out the whole theater for us. Thanks, Donna. And I really grew to like Littlefoot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Aww. That's awesome. Kaylee? Mm-hmm.
I stole yours.
You did steal
but
mine.
But I like Rexy from Toy Story the best.
Yeah, he's funny. Right? I love Rexy too. I'd say mine, if it's not Rexy, I love baseball in Colorado, the Colorado Rockies where I grew up. They have a mascot. His name is Dinger. And he's a dinosaur. His name's Dinger, right? That's Dinger's a home run. So they named him Dinger.
He's I'm Googling this.
Purple dinosaur.
How does a baseball team with mountain range as their mascot have a dinosaur?
I have no idea.
Why don't they have a mountain range?
I don't know, but they they hatched him out of an egg.
And, he kind
of
looks like Barney.
He kind of looks like Barney. That's probably what happened. All right, we could talk about fictitious dinosaurs all day, probably, but let's talk about dinosaurs and what we do. There's a lot we don't know about dinosaurs. There's a lot of questions about, you know, their historical accuracy, where they show up in the Bible. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But first, let me give you a definition I found. Just so we know what we're talking about. Dinosaurs were a diverse group of reptiles. Some avian and others walked on land or were water dwellers. Some dinosaurs were plant eaters while others were carnivores. All dinosaurs are believed to have been egg-laying, and although some dinosaurs were gigantic creatures, many were the size of a chicken or smaller. So I think often we think of the big things, but apparently they were small.
There's a lot of diversity, though. There were vegan dinosaurs and there were paleo dinosaurs.
It worked, right?
Well, aren't chickens related to T-Rexes? That's like a thing, I think. I'm not an expert.
I didn't research that. That wasn't in Jurassic Park.
It's a scientific statement.
Brendan, yes or no? Am I right?
Yes.
Yay.
Brendan says yes.
It must be true.
Brendan's the authority. All right. The word dinosaur was created in 1841 by English botanist Sir Richard Owen And I love
biologist.
Biologist. What did I call him?
Botanist.
Botanist.
That's plant.
That's a plant person. Yep.
Thinking about plants. All right. This is what the word dinosaur means. It's a combination of two words. Dino, which means terrible, and saurus, which means lizard. So okay. Together, it means terrible lizard.
That seriously just sounds like an indie band you would Doesn't find it? On Spotify. Like, right? Oh, if you listen to it Terrible probably, Lizard.
It could be an indie band.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, but from the 90s.
Since this word wasn't created until the 1800s, it obviously doesn't appear in Scripture. But there are some words that do appear in Scripture that could potentially point towards the existence of dinosaurs during Bible times. Words like behemoth, dragon, leviathan, and serpent. You want to talk a little bit about some of those and some the ways that places that we see those verses?
Yeah, so the word behemoth shows up in the book of Job, Job 40:15-18. Behold, behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold, his strength in his loins and his power in the muscles of his belly. So there's some creature that God is describing there that is big and was obviously a bronchiosaurus, right?
Might have been.
Well, and if people don't know what Job is about, I don't know if the whole book's about this because I haven't read it, but there's this guy named Job, and he has a pretty terrible go at things, and I think it's the funniest thing that one of the bad things that happens to him might be, like, dinosaurs on his lawn. Like, he wakes up, and he's, like, going about his business, and he looks out the window, and he's like, honey, the T-Rexes are back. Get the broom.
There's a behemoth on the lawn. There's a behemoth.
Yeah, and the word Leviathan shows up in Job and in the book of Psalms, in Isaiah. So they show up in different places.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly, specifically what these creatures are, but some of the descriptions that are given are, you know, definitely have characteristics that we would associate with what we know as to be dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the places that we can look to and say, well, perhaps.
Yep.
We don't know for certain.
Yeah, we don't know for sure.
Whether or not dinosaurs existed during biblical times, or, you know, whether or not they existed at the same time as people, or that we had records of them. But these would be places that you could point to, and you could study a little bit more to find out, you know, how Scripture could potentially point to the existence of dinosaurs.
Yeah, one of the things I'm thinking about as we're having this conversation is that the way that we understand creation and how that came about is really important in this conversation. So lots more. We probably need to do like three more podcasts on how we understand some of these different views of the timeline of creation, Genesis 1 and 2, and how that played out. So there are different theories that could play into this as well.
Isn't there like that? I feel like this is like such a mom cartoon thing, but have you ever seen that thing on Facebook where it's like Noah on the ark floating away and then the dinosaurs are on the shore and they're like, darn it, was that today? Because like, would they have not fit? They wouldn't have fit.
Well, that's where the smaller dinosaurs come in. I actually read about this. Yeah, that some people, I mean, some people have used the flood as a possibility for the extinction of dinosaurs. That's one theory that's out there is that the dinosaurs existed until the time of the flood, and then for whatever reason, they were left off the ark.
Wait, so stuff like alligators made the cut? And like iguanas? But then
right? But then, you know,
and turtles? Oh my gosh.
The challenge with that argument
Slow down. What else made it?
Everything. That's the challenge in saying that the flood wiped out the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Is that the Bible says that God put two of every kind onto the ark.
Right.
And so it doesn't seem like that would be consistent for God to leave something off.
Right.
But if there were smaller versions of the dinosaurs, then they too could have made it.
Is it like TSA, where they're like, we have to limit reptiles to like 48 ounces, otherwise you can't bring that on the ark.
No, I don't think it's like TSA.
Sure. These comments were not planned. I just want you to know
that's right. I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and so we're a little silly today. I'm trying to get this figured out. And,
or maybe Noah had like a personal fear. Like, what if Noah was just really freaked out and he's like, I can't. Like, just don't let them on. Because that would be terrifying.
Yeah. It probably would.
It would have been. It would be terrifying. Yeah.
We should be like Jurassic Ark, right? You can make a new movie over it. All right. Sorry.
There's a Russell Crowe movie in my desk, someone left behind, called Noah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a... No. I can watch that as an answer.
All right, we're going to try to wrap this up. This has obviously been one of our less serious podcasts that we've done, but a couple of things that maybe we could just say on a topic that's really hard. Now, if you're a serious scientist, a serious student, we don't want to make light of this. There are ways that you can explore this. I think this is an interesting question because for some people, this might create a barrier, right? Mm-hmm. Their barrier to understanding the Bible or trusting in God. And we want you to know that we believe Scripture to be true. And, you know, you can, there are scholarly people who have put a lot of research into this that clearly we have not, but it's out there. And so don't let this be a deterrent would be the first thing I would say. But a couple of things I think are observations that we should just be aware of. First is that I think we have to acknowledge dinosaurs did exist. Like there is a school of thought that says, you know, there's no reason to believe in these, but we have all of these fossils. We have all of these records. It's not a conflict with our faith to believe in the existence of dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
The second I think is we can point to is that we do have to also acknowledge though that when they existed is a matter of debate. Now, evolutionists would say that dinosaurs existed millions and millions and millions of years ago, but a lot of the newer fossils that are being found, they're still finding marrow in some of those fossils, which would include that they're a much more recent creature. Their existence is much more, much closer to our current time, which would fit probably more of the biblical timeline and narrative. Third, I think we should just acknowledge that dinosaurs were created beings, right? The Bible in Genesis talks about the creation of the world, and on the fifth and sixth day, we see that God created the animals, the things that would fly in the sky and swim in the sea and dwell on the land. And the Bible doesn't name every single thing, you know, that God created, but dinosaurs would certainly fit into that.
I think that's a good thing to just stop on for a moment. Like, the Bible describes biological realities and truths. It describes scientific realities and truths, but it is not a scientific textbook, right? That's not the purpose of it. So we don't see every creature that was ever made by God is not listed in Scripture for us to know. So, I mean, I don't believe this is, I should know this. I don't think dogs are listed. Dogs are listed in the Bible. They are, but not as people's personal possessions, right? They're talked about as a dog returns to its vomit. I thought about that as I was saying it. But not every creature,
what?
It's a proverb. But like, not,
ew.
It's a stamp. But not every creature that was ever made is listed out explicitly in the Bible. And therefore, it doesn't mean that we can't say, well, then they weren't created by God.
Exactly. And so I think whatever we're talking about in creation, Kaylee's looking up that verse right
I
now.
Am.
She's really stuck on that. But
ew.
We have to approach, you know, all of life seeing God as the creator and the
yeah.
initiator. That's got to
yeah.
shape our worldview.
Absolutely.
And so, same thing when we approach things like dinosaurs is that if their existence should just point to who God is. And I think that would be kind of my final thought on this is that in the Bible, when we see these references, if things like the behemoth, the Leviathan, the dragon, if those things were speaking of dinosaurs, they were used in Scripture to point people to the greatness of God. There were these big creatures, these scary creatures, but they were no match for God.
Mm-hmm.
That they were used to point people and draw people closer to God and should have resulted in kind of reverence and worship for God. And so I would say the same thing as we think of these type of topics, we can get really stuck on whether or not the word dinosaur appears in the Bible, but I think there's a bigger opportunity to, as we learn more and more about creation and the world that God has made, that it should result in worship and praise to who God is.
Yeah, and I would say that we should never be afraid to explore these things and to ask these questions and to learn, because the scientific endeavor, right, as we understand it in this world, really that comes from our understanding that God is creator and that he's called us to investigate, explore, and know about his world. And when we do so, it should lead to us glorifying him, just as you talked about with dinosaurs, right? It leads to worship, because this incredibly huge God gave us this world. It's a gift. And so to know about it is really to understand in some ways who he is and what he's like as a creator. And so this is just one aspect of that that I think sometimes Christians are afraid of because they just don't know. Don't let those things be a barrier.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Great.
Wrap us up.
So yeah, send us your questions, asking for a friend, aff@westminster.org, or you can go on our website and you can submit questions there. We really appreciate all the ways that you are interacting with our podcast. You can rate us online. It actually will help us have more visibility. So rate us online. A little promo there. Give us a good rating. That'd be great. But you can be honest too. That's fine. Have a great day, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel. If you or your friend would like to share a question, email us at aff@westminster.org.